And once again, we return to Columbus for Ask the Mayor with Mayor Jim Linup. Thank you very much.
Well, good afternoon.
I wanted to start with some of these bad storms we had this past weekend. I know a lot of the damage, I think, was on the other part of the county here in Bartholomew County.
It's a little east of here. Towards the Otter Creek Golf Course in Petersville, a little community out there. Fortunately, I mean, there were several reports of a twisting cloud that passed over Columbus, but it didn't touch down in the city. It did touch down west of town, and I think it destroyed a few barns and some trees, but fortunately no injuries.
Mm-hmm. I did read that there was something about the sirens. Do we know if they were just late, or were, I think the sirens, are they here, are they just for tornado warnings, or do they get issued for other things as well?
My understanding is they're issued for any kind of an emergency, you know, and it's a manual activation. There has to be somebody at the emergency operations center who pushes a button, and that activates the horns. They did go off a little bit later than we would have thought. And I've talked to Ed Ryder, who is the director of the Emergency Operations Center, and he's going to do pretty much an in-depth study to try to understand what happened. Initially, he's indicated to me that there was pretty high call volume that may have, resulted in a delay in pushing that button. They also indicated that the storm came across pretty quickly. You know, it may sound a little silly to people who are out in their front yard watching this, but the operators at the Emergency Operations Center are down in the basement, you know, of that facility, and so they don't really know what's going on up around them. They receive weather information from the National Weather Service, and sometimes that isn't as timely as it could be, and this was a particularly quick-moving storm. So one of the things we try to emphasize to people is that we've got several redundant emergency notification systems. The sirens are one, the loud sirens that we activate to warn people, but there's an Everbridge system, that's tied into your cell phones, so you can go online to the appropriate place and either sign up for a phone call or a text message. Obviously, you yourself can watch the Weather Channel or listen to the radio. So there are several systems that are in place to help. But yeah, on that particular day, and with respect to those tornado sirens, I think they were a little bit late, and we're going to try a little bit better to find out why that happened.
Just also in the news these last few days, thinking more in terms of statewide, Governor Holcomb now signing bills into law. Last week we were in Kokomo, spoke with Mayor Goodnight. The two he was keeping an eye on was the road funding bill, and for at least there, the innkeeper's tax. They're looking at convention center funding.
Right.
But I'm just curious, here in Columbus, was there a bill or two in particular you're kind of keeping an eye on?
No, the road funding was important to us. I mean, as it would be for anybody. We need to pave about 25 miles of asphalt every year, and we're probably not getting that done, we would like a little bit of help with that, because, it's not like we're accumulating money. I mean, we spend what the taxpayers give us and get paved what we can, so we need a little bit of help from the state on that regard. There were a couple other bills that sort of got on our radar, the Airbnb bill. There were some people in the state who wanted to prevent the city from restricting folks' ability to be able to do Airbnb. I thought that should be left to the locals to decide. But no, road funding was pretty much it for us.
Speaking of streets, how's State Street Bridge and all that construction coming along?
It's looking good. You need to drive out there and take
a
picture. Yeah. The railings are up on the north side, as well as the concrete barrier that will be between traffic and pedestrians, and they're working on the south side now. This morning at Border Works, we signed a contract with Dave Romero for what we call Phase 2A, which will go further east from State Street out towards around the stoplight at Mapleton Street. It'll be about there where that will end. And the whole notion will be to carry forward the same kind of treatment with respect to people trails and bike paths and a little bit of the architectural elements that you'll see there on the bridge.
You know, I was just reading that one of the first solar farms is coming to Bartholomew County, starting construction on Tuesday of this week. We're speaking later with the REMC CEO to get some insight on that. But I know we've talked about solar before here, and it's something that's important to the city.
I think it is. Renewable energy is important. I mean, just as a general topic, the issue we get into with solar is just trying to make sure it pencils out. So I'll be really interested to see how much electricity they're able to collect down there, because you just wonder how effective, I mean, given cloud cover and all the other weather elements that come into play, you know, how truly effective that is. So hopefully this will give us some good data.
The topic we always touch upon every month is the downtown train tracks, and I see there's a Friday morning meeting scheduled for those who just want to know more about the impact downtown. We've talked about, or you talked about, a State Road 46 overpass,
right,
that would bypass the train tracks, of course, funding. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. Anything new since we've talked last
time? No, we're still in a waiting pattern. We've submitted a couple of projects to the Indiana Department of Transportation and hope to hear back, you know, within a matter of weeks as to, you know, whether any of those will go forward. But we're continue with the public education campaign so that people understand, you know, what's headed our way. Within the city, we've already begun to address a couple of things. The fire department has already positioned some equipment and some extra crew on the other side of the tracks, the west side of the tracks. The county has begun improvements to what we call Lowell Road in anticipation that it will handle more traffic than it does now. So we're gearing up. I mean, we're getting prepared. And the meeting Friday morning is just to provide a little bit more public education on that.
Speaking of meetings, too, you had a community meeting in the response to heroin.
Yes.
A week or so ago.
April 19th.
About, yeah, what, 500 people?
Yeah, we had a little bit over 500 folks,
wow,
show up at the Commons. We had a really worthwhile presentation. There's a book that was written a few years ago by the name of Dreamland, and it really focuses on Portsmouth, Ohio. And as odd as it may sound, that small city on the Ohio River, on southern Ohio, was sort of ground zero for the heroin epidemic that we have here in the Midwest. And we'd arranged for the author of that book to come visit. He had a health issue show up the Sunday prior, so he wasn't able to make it. But we had a video, you know, that had previously been recorded. So pretty much the same message that he would have delivered had he been there. We also had a psychiatrist from Portsmouth, a fellow who had been sort of there throughout all of this. And he gave us all a little bit better understanding of the chemistry, you know, behind morphine and the effect that it has on the brain, and why it is so difficult for some people to use this once and get away from it, or why it is so difficult for people who have been given opioid painkillers to walk away from them, you know, when their prescription runs out. So I think, you know, part of what we were trying to do in that meeting was establish, again, some public education, not dissimilar from the railroad, but just try to help people understand the dilemma that we're in. And then begin to outline, you know, in very broad terms, what will likely become our public response.
Mm-hmm. And I believe in the budget, do you have, what, the mayor's office has about $5,000 as well? Is it this coming year?
We do. We put to help with that. I mean, that's basically to pay for some studies and a little bit of travel. The majority of the funding at this point is coming from the Clements Regional Health Foundation. They are going to be paying for, you know, the salaries for a couple of people who will work in this, as well as some additional training. Yeah.
There was a Riverfront community meeting too a few weeks ago, and I was excited to hear what some of the community members had to say. And we actually had an email this morning from a Brian who wanted to know what the current thinking for the Riverfront development was. He wants to know, are we seriously considering the in-water park? It seems like it would be a good use of space and appears to have worked well in other communities even smaller than Columbus. And then a second part to his question, I'll go ahead and get all this out and then I'll let you respond. How would we go about funding it?
Yeah. Part of the response with respect to funding is, number one, to divide this up into three different pieces. It just makes it a little bit easier for us to get our hands around each one, particularly on the funding area. And what we've identified is what you might call the pump house side of the river. We've got the river itself, which includes the dam and whatever fall we've got, and then the other side of the river, which is the side on the other side of the pump house. With respect to the pump house side, what we want to try to do is snake the people trail through there and do so in a manner that sort of completes the downtown portion of the trail. We're, right now, the trail ends say around Millrace Park or right underneath the Third Street Bridge, and it picks up again over here on Lafayette Street by the jail. And so what we want to do is complete that portion and going underneath the Second Street Bridge, the Stewart Bridge, and out in front of the pump house is a big part of that. So, you know, we talked about where that ought to be and sort of how that ought to line up with respect to the water. The second piece is out in the water, and yes, we've taken a look at what we might be able to do. And at the end of the day, you know, we've got 4 feet of fall, and 4 feet of fall does not a waterfall make, or you know, a big class two rapids or anything like that. But I do think it gives us an opportunity to have a little bit of fun. And so if we can accommodate some kind of an activity there that doesn't require a lot of money, a lot of maintenance, I think we'll go for it. And then on the other side of the river, you know, what we've talked about there is more of a park-like atmosphere, probably not, you know, a playground. I mean, I don't know that we want to get into that with, you know, restrooms and a parking lot, but certainly some benches and some trails and just a way to sort of sit there and view the river and enjoy that. Maybe there'd be an opportunity to get in the water. I'm not real sure about that yet, but those are the things that we've talked, those are the ideas that came back from the public meeting and what we've talked to our consultants about, you know, what we'd like to see in the final design, or the next design, I should say. We haven't put a price tag on any of this stuff, which gets to the funding part, and we'll just have to wait to see. You know, it's a little too early to tell.
This plays back on a Wednesday, so today is Tuesday, but you have a city council meeting tonight and a pretty big agenda.
Can you give items
us
on
yeah,
there.
Go ahead and give yeah, us a little the, bit of an overview.
We've got a couple of what you might call housekeeping items. I mean, there's a alley vacation and a word change, a cleanup to our weed ordinance, but we've got an additional appropriation to consider. You may recall when we put together our budget for 2017, we did that back in October of 2016. And at that time, the Department of Local Government Finance had given us some revenue numbers that we had to work with that were pretty low. I mean, and they told us they were low. We knew they were low. We did not want to pass an unbalanced budget. We didn't want to pass a budget that spent more money than we knew was coming in. So what we did was defer a good portion of the capital projects that we would routinely consider, and we're talking a couple million dollars worth of asphalt overlay. There's probably several pieces of equipment in there, some restroom renovations at the parks, and so on. So we told everybody back in October that when we get the final numbers from the DLGF, we will return and add those items in if we get enough money, and we did. We got a little bit more, you know, than what we had anticipated receiving. We'll consider that tonight, and you know, that'll be on second reading, so it's already passed the council once, so I would expect it to go forward this evening.
A few months ago, you talked about a salary balance initiative, and I know that was something that you're working on over a period of time. Has that still progressed?
It's progressing. It's going a little slower than we'd hoped. What we've done is commission a salary study. You know, we have 425 full-time equivalents, and we're not going to study every position, but part of what comes out is that when you compare our city to others, you may have jobs that have similar titles, but they don't have similar duties. And it creates a fair amount of confusion when you're trying to compare, you know, from one city to the next and try to come up with a fair compensation amount. So we've given the consultant a little bit extra time to try to sort through those differences in titles. The differences in job descriptions, so that they can come back to us as something that's more along the lines of apples and apples rather than apples and oranges. But we're proceeding with that. We're sort of committed to it. We anticipate that we're going to have to respond to it with extra money, you know, come salary time. But we really don't yet know how much we're talking about. So we just wait and see. Yeah, we get a number of employees asking, you know, where are we on the salary survey, and I keep having to tell them all we're just going through it pretty methodically.
Beautiful day today in Columbus. Springtime is here. They're mowing the grass. The flowers are planted. Plenty of things to do in Columbus. Come out and visit the downtown, huh?
Oh, absolutely. We have a pretty active community calendar. You'll see it in the newspaper. You know, the city's website has some of those activities in play. We have Bike to Work Day coming up. If you want to ride with me, you need to go to the North Christian Church I want to say it's May 19th, but don't hold me to that. And there are a number of other outdoor activities once the Parks Department gets into swing. It's going to be fun.